Today I want to preach a message entitled More Holy Spirit. Say that with me. Say, More Holy Spirit. And if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. If you don't have your Bibles, just follow me on the screen. I want to use this prop that I used 3 years ago, back by popular demand. And I think it will help articulate this message today and challenge you and I, and then give us steps to, I would say, move forward in our faith and to allow more of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. I just find my life is better when more of the Holy Spirit is flowing through me. How about you? And so I love this passage. This is John the Baptist talking to some of his disciples. He has already baptized his cousin Jesus in the Jordan River. There's a shift happening in terms of influence. Now, John, he massively influenced the people of Israel, led thousands to repentance, and he prepared the way of Jesus. And now Jesus has come, and there is a shift. And I want you to catch the heart of this, and I want to highlight one of these verses as the main thought today for our message. So John's disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people. Notice this, and everybody is going to him instead of coming to us. So competition. John replied, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. This will preach on a lot of topics, but this would be a great heart for the church of Jesus to adopt, that we're all on the same team. Come on, somebody, right? And we just everyone, we want everyone to do good. But I love verse 30. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. All week I've been worshiping to a gospel song by Ernest Pugh, and he says, I need your glory, I need your glory. And then he says, less of me, more of you. And what a great challenge, but what a great opportunity to have less of us and more of God. And when that happens, I believe amazing things happen. Can someone say amen? So Father, I thank you so much for the second worship experience of the day. I thank you for all those watching online in treatment centers around our area. Lord, we believe in them and that God has a future for them. I thank you for every person watching online today. Please receive our worship. Let it be a glory to you. And Lord, I pray that you would keep us safe in this moment as we go about our week. And I pray that all of us would lay down resistance, set aside distraction, lean in for a few moments and receive something from you. May your kingdom come and your will be done in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. I want to set this up and then I want to get into two main thoughts for our message today. But we know that this passage, when John says, I must become less and less and he must become greater and greater, we know he was talking physically. He needed to withdraw from the public and let Jesus take the stage, so to speak, and let him have the influence and really defer his ministry now to the ministry of Jesus. That's what he was talking about. For us today in 2025, it applies to you and I that you and I get out of the way, are less of us and more of Jesus. Let's use a stage, for example. Instead of us being in the center of the stage, we step aside and say, Jesus, you take the center of the stage. Holy Spirit, fill my life. Less of me, more of you. Does that make sense? And so that's how we can apply it today. And what a great challenge it is every day for you and I to have less of us and more of you, I would say more of God. And so when you think about this message, here's the prop I wanted to bring back. How many love Chick-fil-A? Come on, Jesus chicken. Jesus chicken. Some water came out. Sorry, Mom. Jesus chicken. With Jesus chicken, you got to get a large lemonade. Can I get a witness for the lemonade? I'm not sure it's healthy for you, but it tastes amazing, and it's hard to resist. But I've learned something, and when you go to fast food restaurants, and maybe all restaurants, they have a trick when it comes to soft drinks. They fill the cup with ice so that you pay full price for the large drink, but your cup is not fully filled with whatever drink you're getting. So if you want lemonade, you're not getting the full cup of lemonade. You're getting about a half or maybe even less because they pack it full of ice. Have you noticed this before? It's annoying, because if you're like me with that lemonade, two gulps and it's gone. Come on now. All right. So here's the analogy. You and I go to a restaurant, get something to drink, and we pay for the large, price, and it's packed full of ice, and then they pour the lemonade in it, but because it's filled with ice, we are not filled up with lemonade. And this is a picture of you and I at times in our lives being filled up. I'm going to use ice today. It can be anything. Filled up with ice. It's stuff that maybe is good, but not the best, or maybe it's bad. And then the Holy Spirit tries to get in, and maybe we can receive some of the Holy Spirit, but we're not getting filled up with the Spirit because we're blocked with other things. And so, today, if you think about what Jesus said in John 7, verse 38, he said an interesting verse when he's preaching at the festival of the Jews. He says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39 says, this he spoke of the Holy Spirit who had not been given yet. So the reference of out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water is really a picture of the Holy Spirit, and he gives the Holy Spirit's connection to water. Now, I know ice is another form of water. Let's forget all the science stuff. Just stay with me for a little bit. I didn't take science in high school. I took gym. The point is, you get the idea that when you and I are packed full of ice or other things, the water of the Holy Spirit is limited. So our challenge is to empty ourselves of the ice, so to speak, and get filled up with the water of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I need more of the Holy Spirit. And so I could preach this message on a variety of topics. We could go any topic and it'd be relevant. I'm choosing these two topics for two reasons. One, these two topics have challenged me in my time with Christ since 1996. And as a pastor since 1999, I've noticed that these two topics are a massive challenge for a lot of people as well. So I figure if it's a challenge for me, it's probably a challenge for all of us at some level, and the Holy Spirit is really trying to deal with us. And really in any area of our life, we could take this analogy and apply it. So for the message today, less of me, more of you, more Holy Spirit. One more time, say that, more Holy Spirit. Here's the two things I want to talk about today that I want to connect this message to. Number one, and that's people. How many know people are a challenge? You're not raising your hand, you're lying right now. This includes our parents, our siblings, our marriages, our children, extended family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, strangers. We get the idea. Some of our greatest blessings have come from relationships, and some of our greatest wounds have come from relationships. This part of our faith is massive. This is really how we walk out our faith in majority. How do we practice loving Jesus? It's really in how we love people. Vertical, we worship Jesus and him alone, but horizontally, we're called to love people. And that's where the challenge comes in. And we can have challenges worshiping Jesus, but how many know loving people is a challenge? In fact, the Bible says here in Luke chapter 6, verse 37 and 38, do not judge others, you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make more room for more, running over, poured into your lap. Notice this, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Here's what's amazing about Jesus. Is when you and I receive Christ, we are now commissioned to do relationships his way, not our way. And Jesus says, basically, in my language, that whatever we're giving to others is what's coming back to us. This is a massive challenge, because we're not perfect, people aren't perfect, and we rub each other in the wrong way a lot. Maybe more personal than others, but things happen. And so we're challenged to walk in the love of Jesus. And if you're like me, I'm challenged a lot. How about you? Particularly at airports and amusement parks. Come on, somebody. Maybe referees as well. Jesus says here, don't judge and you will not be judged. Don't condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. So whatever we're receiving in our relationships is a product of what we're giving in our relationships. This is an area that you and I can be filled up with ice and have hardness of heart In fact, ice is cold, obviously. And before the analogy, ice will make us cold. Our heart will get cold toward God and cold toward people. In fact, any relationship in our life, when we come to Christ, not every relationship is going to stay in our life forever. Maybe friends come and go, different things happen. But a lot of those relationships are there for you and I to be refined and made more like Jesus. I heard one great man of God say that marriage is not only about our happiness, marriage is about our holiness. Thank you for all the amens today. That when a man and a woman, opposites, man, different ways of thinking about things, different ideologies come together, that love and that romance and that honeymoon feeling is great, but it doesn't always last and it's not every day. And so that part that is maybe frustrating or a challenge to us is really a part of Jesus wanting us to be refined in the way we love our spouse, love our kids, love our family, love our neighbor, love our boss, love our coworker, love the people down the street, love people like you and that are against you, love people that think like you and don't think like you, love people that vote different than you, love people that have a totally different way of living, that you and I would model the love of Jesus. And this is a massive area of major ice. Can I get a witness? In fact, our challenge is to empty our cup of ice and be filled with the Holy Spirit, if we're honest, every single day, because every single day presents a new challenge with people. Come on. And you know what? Maybe we bring that challenge to someone else too. And so our job here is to be filled with the Spirit and to let God move in us and heal us and help us to model the way of Christ. Less of me, more of you, more Holy Spirit in my life. And if you've been around City, and I mean, for any amount of time, you may have heard me say this, but I practiced this and I didn't just get here because I'm spiritual. God had to break me to get me here, but I have a list of enemies that I pray for every day. And I bless them. I did it this morning early. I bless them. I pray success. I pray increase. I pray blessing on their life. I pray God increase them. And also on that list is the man that molested me. I bless him every day. Because I will not allow my heart in the name of Jesus to, at least there may be ice that fills it up some days. Come on now. But I'm going to pour it out the next day and get clean. I got to have more of the Holy Spirit. How about you today? I need more Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, I didn't arrive. I did not just arrive because I love Jesus and I'm pseudo-spiritual. I had to get broken and get to that point. And I want to encourage you today. I know by the amount of people in this room and online, there's some marriages. You're looking at me right now, and there is marriages where your cup is full of ice. You're full of ice towards your kids or towards your parents, towards your dad, and he may be gone, passed away. There's ice in our cup towards our boss, towards this person, towards that person. And if we're honest, it's a challenge to navigate. And the Holy Spirit wants to clean us and empty this stuff out of our heart, empty the ice, and fill us with the fresh water of the Holy Spirit. And here's what's crazy is that sometimes you and I can be justified to being full of anger and rage and to having just this spite in our heart because of what they did. But God's way is better than our way. And forgiving is always better than not forgiving. Serving is always better than being served. Humility is always better than pride. And being freed of ice, so to speak, and letting the water of the Spirit is always better than being filled up. And so today, what's ice in our relationship? It's unforgiveness, bitterness, revenge, holding on to grudges, going back and forth, tit for tat, and you're doing this back and forth stuff. That's ice. Wanting to be served only. Nothing wrong with being served, but it's all about us all the time. That's ice. Stubborn. Willful stubbornness, resistance, just, all that is not the Holy Spirit. God is wanting us to be humble and purified. And man, if you don't believe me, just get married and have kids and God will work on you like you don't know. And all the married people are laughing right now and clapping. You know I'm telling the truth. Come on now. It's worth getting married. Amen. I said it's worth getting married. Amen. All right. That's a little better. And so I want to encourage you that you and I in Christ are proactive people. We're proactive givers of grace, proactors, lovers of people. Now hear me, I can't get into all this, but please hear this, let me write this down. Being a Christian doesn't mean I'm a doormat. Being a Christian doesn't mean I don't use common sense emotionally, physically, or with boundaries. Being a Christian doesn't mean I get ran over and mistreated willfully. That's not what he's talking about. I can forgive somebody and not trust them ever again and be right with God. I can forgive them and love them and not have them in my life. And maybe for some of us, some people shouldn't be in our life. But the point is that the cup of ice is being emptied and I'm being moved on by the Spirit of God. And that I'm not allowing this junk to fill my heart and let just a little bit of the Holy Spirit, just a drip, just kind of a drip. That's good, but man, I'm thirsty for God. I need more of God. I need him to fill me up to the top, and I don't want just a little bit because I'm packed full of ice. I want to get free of the ice and get full of the Spirit. I want God in my life. How about you today? You know what I've noticed? I've noticed that when I walk like God, not God, far from it, obviously, need him every day, miss it at times with summer in our argument still, miss it as a dad trying to get it right, you miss it as a coach because those referees, you miss it just in life. How many miss it in life? But every time I just do it the Bible way, I'm better. And the situation around me gets better. Or at least I'm coming out of it clean. Today, before I move on to my second point, I want to encourage you with people. Jesus has not called us to stoop down here and get in the weeds and go back and forth and I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm going to get back at you and I can't believe you and I'm better than you and I'm stronger than you. I make more money than you and you're wrong and I'm right. I can't believe you vote for that person. I can't believe you live like that. And all that junk, that is Loserville. God has called us to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I'm not called to lose. I'm called to win in Christ. And when I lose my life, I gain my life, and I have a crown of righteousness. I'm not going to stoop down and argue in the weeds when God's called me to walk on the King's highway and to move with Jesus and to function as an imperfect person, but to flow in the love of God and to be clean of ice and be filled with the water of the Holy Spirit. Come on, give Jesus praise. How many want that today? I do. And so I want to ask you today, if we don't like what we're getting in our relationships, we need to ask ourselves, what are we giving? That's what Luke 6, 37 and 38 are saying. And I don't know everyone's situation. I can't sit up here and dissect. It's impossible. But in general, I'm asking us, me, Holy Spirit, help me to be free of ice and to let the water of God come into me. Here's the second one. Massive challenge to me at times, massive challenge to people, especially in church, that's finances. You know what's interesting about these two points? There's over 1,000, I'm going to say this again, there's over 1,000 verses in the Bible about relationships. You know about finances? There's over 2,300 verses about finances, stewardship, giving, generosity, watching out for the love of money. Over 2,300 verses. That means God's trying to say something. But this is tied into relationships because how many know that money can ruin relationships? Money can ruin marriages. Do you know as the four big reasons for divorce, the number one reason is money. So this is spiritual, and it's an area of our life that's filled up with ice for a lot of different reasons. You can be a multimillionaire or have nothing, or be in the middle and be filled with ice. You can be American, Indonesian, African, European, Brazilian, Chinese. It doesn't matter where we're at in the world. Doesn't matter. We all got to deal with this. We all got to deal with people. We all got to deal with money because it's a heart issue. And this issue can get filled up with ice, and this may be even more tricky than people because this can be spun in a religious phrase or religious terms and sound good, but totally be disconnected from the heart of God. Listen to these two verses about money. These are just two of them. This is the Message version in Proverbs 11:24. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. How about this? The Apostle Paul says, for the love of money. We get this quoted wrong all the time. It's the Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds, plural, all kinds of evil. Notice in some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. It's interesting that out of all of the 2,300 plus verses about money, he's trying to get something. He's not trying to get something from us. He's trying to get something of more value than our money. He's trying to get our heart. And this topic with people gets filled up with ice so easy, and the Holy Spirit wants us to be clean and free ourselves of ice so the water of the Spirit can fill us up all over again. And really, that may be a day-to-day thing that all of us need. Notice he says the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. I don't believe that's necessarily only about money. I've seen it over time that when people become stingy, their world shrinks, their heart capacity to love shrinks. Their imaginations of dreaming shrinks. All it is about preservation and holding down, white knuckled, grabbing on, shaking if they will, and just everything. And everything is just getting smaller and smaller in their heart, in their mind, in their conversations, even in their family. Everything just goes down. But when we're generous in Jesus, it opens our heart and our heart is growing. Our heart is open. Our mind is imagining. We're getting healthier because we're operating in a way that God intended for us to. You see, we gotta understand the devil wants to destroy mankind. God wants us to love each other. So the devil uses division, strife, racism, hatred, corruption, violence, everything you want to, you know, name against each other. So we're pitted against each other, even in our own marriages. And then we blow up and we're missing that God has something special, that God wants the church to be in unity. And then you and I don't miss it by arguing over stupid stuff. We stay together and then we go out and we reach other people and tell them who Jesus is, and we live with purpose, not with arguments. And with money, God's trying to get us to be healthy about money so that our house is in order, our lives are in order, that we have life insurance, we have savings, we have a budget, we have an operation cost, we have this functionality in our lives, and we're leaving an inheritance, whatever it is, but more importantly, we're blessing the kingdom and we're making a difference, but our heart is clean the whole way through. Therefore, money is not an obstacle for divorce in my marriage. Money is a thing we celebrate and get closer on. Money doesn't separate me and my best friend. Money brings us together because I'm serving my fellow man. I'm not letting money corrupt me, because the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. I'm not gonna have the love of money. I wanna have the love of God. I wanna love God. I need God over money. I need God over clothes. I need God over acceptance. I need God over social media. I need God over my dream vacation. None of that necessarily is wrong, but I need God above it all, because when I have God, I can have whatever, and I can be in order, and I can be healthy, and I can be right, and I can be growing in my heart. So what he's saying here is that you and I can grow through giving and operating in Jesus' system, and that you and I can avoid the love of money. 1 John 2, the Bible says these three sins, lust of the flesh, sensuality, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the lust of money, the lust of things. And money is not wrong. He said it's the love of money that's corrupt. I serve God, money serves me. I serve God, I love my fellow man. When I put God as number one, it brings my life not into perfection, but it brings my life into order, and I'm healthy on the inside. But when it comes to people, that can be a challenge. It's harder to hide revenge and unforgiveness in the faith of Christ, because we know what the Bible says. Money becomes tricky. Because we can, you know, like I said, use religion to make it sound good. For example, Jesus goes to Lazarus' house One of his sisters take a perfume that cost 1 year's salary. She takes it, she breaks it, she pours it on his feet, Jesus. She washes his feet with her hair. The perfume fills the house. She's preparing him for his burial, the Bible says. And Judas says, this isn't right. This should be given to the poor. Sounds amazing. Sounds spiritual. Sounds biblical. And the Bible says he was stealing money out of the offering the whole time he was with Jesus, and he betrayed the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. Notice the one that was arguing was the one that was off. And the one that was using religious mumbo jumbo was the one that was not correct in his heart. It's kind of like a married couple arguing over which TV show to watch, and they're arguing about something that surfaced instead of really talking about what's the main thing. Have you ever done that before? Argue about something that's stupid versus really talking about what's really going on? And in my house, we know the right channel, ESPN. Come on, somebody. She wants to watch HGTV all the time. And so we know who won that argument, don't you? I now know how to remodel houses. Praise God. So it's amazing. So God wants us to get past all the surface. God wants us to get past all the arguments, all this religious stuff, even more so when it comes to money in general. And it could be a lot of things. Let me just give context for church life. Church is all about my money. No, it's not. That's not true at all. Not healthy churches. That's a lie. That's a flat-out lie. Some churches are, not this one. Now, I'm going to tell you who is out your money, or who is out for your money, Walt Disney. They'll take that thing. I don't believe in giving. This is a scam. This is not a scam. In closing, I want you to hear this. Or this is, God never did anything for me. Stop. Why is this an issue with God and money and church? Because it proves there's spiritual ice that's got to get liberated out of our heart, so the Holy Spirit can come in. It's the arguments, the anger, the resentment, the resistance proves that there's something deeper to this than just a transaction of money or just loving my neighbor or just forgiving my spouse or just serving my kids. No, there's something more to it than that. God moves in my life when I operate like God and I love people. I am imperfect. I miss it, but I say sorry. I get back up and I try it again. And then with money, I will not have the love of money fill my heart. I'll be filled with the love of God. Amen. And so all these excuses, so many more, but no, I'm not doing that. I let God move in my life. I lay down resistance, lay down. And the reason why I've had a challenge with people and money, and God's had to do a work in me, and I know you do too at times have a challenge with this. One of the two or both. And you and I have a chance today to have the ice in our life that builds up, be poured out, and get filled with the Holy Spirit. So in closing, I want to just empower you on how. I want to encourage you with people. Every time you and I forgive, the ice gets poured out. Every time we choose to serve with nothing in return and let it go, maybe let someone go in a healthy way, ice gets poured out. Every time we choose to tell the truth and walk in the spirit of grace and mercy, pray for our brothers and sisters, love our enemies, do what's right, a little bit more of the ice comes out, and we're getting more room for the Holy Spirit. I wonder today who in this room and online may be having a cup full of ice towards someone. And the Lord is wanting to move in you and heal you. Not waiting for them to make the first move, but you say sorry. You say I forgive. You say I'd move. And then whether it comes back to you, that would be disappointing, but you're moving forward like Christ. when it comes to money, instead of having the love of money, the greed of money, the holding on to money, the money, all that. No, I let it go. And now when God's system is when I honor God with tithes and offerings, tithe is a word that means 10% of our income. Summer and I live this way. The Bible says in the Old and New Testament, that's holy unto the Lord. So when we gave 15,000, whatever, some items yesterday, when we gave those to people, we gave to Jesus. That's Matthew 25. When also I give Jesus my income, I'm giving it to him. And every time I'm giving to a local church through Heart for the House here or tithes and offerings, a little bit more ice is coming out of me and I'm making more room for the Holy Spirit. And then when I get empty, then more Holy Spirit, less of me, more of you, the water of the Spirit of God can fill me up. I'm gonna go all the way. I don't wanna drop this and spill it, but you get the idea. This cup is filled with water. This is what God wants. He wants us to be filled up with the Spirit. The devil wants to bring ice in our life, filling us with junk. And before I go, all this is, folks, I'm going to simplify this today. All this is that when I come under Jesus, when I become a Christian and I'm serving Christ, the mode at which I operate with people becomes different. The system of humanity is you hurt me, I hurt you. You reject me, I reject you. You do something to me, I do it back to you. That's the system that we live in. That's what we do to each other, and it's horrible. But God's system is you reject me, I love you. You turn your back on me, I'll pray for you and bless you. You lie about me, I'm gonna pray for you and bless you. And if I do beat you up, I'll pray for you to be healed. But you know what I'm saying? But no, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Don't do that. But see, God's system's different. In our marriages, a man and a woman just serving each other, which when we get into arguments, that serving gets out of joint. But if I can just serve my wife, if I can serve Summer and Summer serves me, boom, we're gonna get closer together. But isn't it hard to serve each other every day? But I'm under his system. With money, same thing. World system, get yours right now. It's all about you. Cutthroat, break their kneecaps, get to the top, and you just, sacrifice family time, get that promotion, get that partnership. Go, 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 go. Get. Money, money, money. Now in Christ, I have a new system. I value God. I value my family. I value my relationships, and I want to excel on my job. The Bible talks about having favor and success in our careers. But now when I give God what he asked of me in my tithes and offerings, I'm trusting that I'm not making money my Lord, I'm making God my Lord. And when I give God what he asked, he can do more with what I give than if I kept the whole thing anyway. And my heart is clean and my life is right. And my people connection is getting better. And my money connection is getting better. And I'm getting healthier and I'm freed of ice and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I want this. How about you? I want God in my life. I need God in my life. I want to encourage you today. Please bow your heart and bow your head to heaven. In the room and online today, just lock in with me in this moment. And you would say, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my life. That means you've never said out loud, Jesus, save me. Let it be your day of doing it. Maybe you've done that, but you've drifted far from God. Now it's your time to come back to him. It's your time to say yes to Jesus again. We don't embarrass you, but we do help you move forward one step at a time. And so that's why we ask you to bow your head and bow your heart to respect everyone in the room and online. And you would say, Pastor Dave, today I want to receive Christ for the first time, and or I need to come back to God and get my life right. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you in this room. God bless you today. Good. Thank you. God bless you today. Good. Thank you. God bless you today. Thank you. Good. God bless you today. Thank you. And then how many say, Pastor Dave, man, we could do any area, but today, man, I have ice in my cup with people. Maybe just one person, maybe multiple. I have a cup in my cup is full of ice about finances. And I need the Holy Spirit to help me be emptied of ice and be filled with the water of the Spirit of God. If that's you, to go and raise your hand. I want to pray for you all over this room and online. Say thank you. God bless you today. Follow me in this prayer so no one's left out and say, Lord Jesus, My heart is yours, and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong in my life. I turn away from that. I say yes to you. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, help me empty my cup of the hardness, of the distractions, and I receive more Holy Spirit with the people in my life and with my attitude about money. Purify my heart. I'm yours forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give Jesus a great praise today. In the room and online today.